Shocker. Y'all can, because some of y'all going to be watching to see the smile on my face. I'm ready to go. My people, what up, though? We back with another episode of All Black Men Need Therapy. My name is Chief.
And I'm Bell.
My name is Prentice.
Eugene Powell. I had to put it out
when
there.
When you do that?
I had to give it up because you tried to play me before the thing, but never mind. We're going to keep it going. Miss April. Is it Miss or Ms.? And we just had a hard time defining or distinguishing the difference between Ms. and Miss.
Yeah, because everybody want to know if I'm married or not. So they be trying to figure out if it's a Miss or Mrs. What? No, it's Miss.
Miss.
MS.
MS. So yeah. we know the MS is Miss. Is there a significant difference between Miss and Ms.?
Okay, so Ms. MRS is when you're married.
I thought that was Mrs.
No, Mrs. So MS and MISS, we thought that they were the same, but I found out last year that MISS is for women, young ladies under 18.
Oh.
I found that out.
See,
another thing that I found out is that back in the day, MS was considered the mistress.
What?
Yeah, I've been doing my research. Yes.
So what I heard was MS was women who are no longer married. They go from Mrs. to Miss.
That part, I haven't heard that one, but I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, things, they change, but
they change.
There has to be a way to identify women that have never been married, but I don't think MS should be mistresses. Well, no, I've been married, so I know what that life is. I know both sides.
Well, I'm going to go with Miss April just to put some respect on your name. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm going to do. But we typically start the show with a check-in, fellas. I know we've been heavy conversing lately.
Did we formally introduce?
We were going to give her an opportunity to really let the people know, our listeners know who she is.
Can I please?
Absolutely.
Allow me. So, y'all, I'm super juiced because I'm a huge fan of this woman. I listen to her work. I be on her Instagram lives, commenting, listening, taking notes. We have the one and only Miss April Mason from Richmond, California. Pop that collar. Don't get it twisted, man. We got her joining us here on All Black Men Need Therapy. Can we clap it up one time for Miss April?
I don't got the clap,
thank you, fellas. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for the welcome. I'm glad to be here. Funny thing is, over the last year or two, I wasn't doing any podcasts. I was declining everything. I took the time to take care of me. And when you are in my space, you get a lot of people coming at you all the time, because as a Black woman, speaking about the importance of femininity on a larger scale, on a mainstream scale, everybody's pulling at you, but you have to know when to take a step back and take care of you. And so that's what I did. And so as soon as I came, I guess the universe folks felt that I was back, and I've been interviewing back to back to back to back since last week. So it's a pleasure to be here. You guys are my actual second podcast of the year, and I'm glad it's with the fellas.
We appreciate that too. And even though we're called All Black Men Need Therapy, I must admit, in my life, the most valuable lessons I've obtained has come from women. So it's a beautiful, I'm ready to soak in all this right now. So it's a beautiful thing to have you here for sure.
Thank you.
Before we get to all the good stuff, we do like to just do a check-in, a mental health check-in, see where the guys are at and where you're at in just a second. So Bellhead, well, let's start with you, man. Check in. How you doing? How you feeling? How you living?
I'm good. I too am excited for this conversation today, because I know, Miss April, your conversations are by and large directed towards women and everything like that. And listening to you and your TED Talk specifically, and I feel like I'm in a weird place with identity right now.
So
I'm looking forward to that. But that kind of speaks to my check-in. I'm good, man. I am making it a point to take care of myself this year. That is my primary drive, one of my primary drivers in doing so. Like, for instance, I already scheduled some days off. I never do that, right? Like, I never do that. So it's, the irony is, in my position, I have unlimited PTO. I can take as many days as I want. But ever since I've been in this role for 2 years now, I probably have taken less time off than I ever have in my life. And I have literally an abundance of time I could take if I needed it. But I made it a point this morning to send out some time off requests, or not requests, just kind of calendar invites to the team, letting them know I'm going to be out. And yeah, just really, really, really focusing on me. My meditation has continued. I continued to meditate. Still seeing great results from that. And just making sure that I'm continuing to walk in my purpose. Like that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I feel good. I feel real good.
P, what's up? Talk to me.
I was debating on if I was gonna be honest or not.
why would you be? Why would you do. Be anything less?
Please do.
Come on, man.
I know. And I
appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, appreciate the honesty.
You know what I'm saying? But I really was debating. I'm trying to think of a way to work.
Don't be acting up in front of company.
Right. Right. So 2 days ago was probably one of the most devastating days I've had in a long, long time. It was devastating. And over the last 2 days, the thing that I've noticed is it was devastating in the way that in my mind impacts my whole family. But it was a trip how devastated I've been and how cool Sarai's been. You get what I'm saying? And the devastation I directly impacts her. Right. In my mind, this devastation directly impacts her, but she's fine. And her perspective on it is night and day from mine. Mm-hmm. So it was the trip being so down and just defeated and watching her just silver lining, fine, okay. And I'm like, it makes me kind of check myself more than I could check myself, because the energy she's walking around with is like, it's making me be like, what the fuck are you doing, Fee? Like, if she's like this, it can't be that serious for real. You know what I mean? Like, it just can't be. So, I'm still upset about it, but I'm a lot better, you know, when the right energy is around, man. And she's had the right energy, and it's not even been, it has nothing to do with me. It's just her perspective on the whole thing. So it's made me really check myself. And like you told me in the text that the day it happened, Chief, get your ass up and get back to it. So,
yeah. You know.
My last one is really important. I'm finally officially signed up for therapy.
Let's go.
My
Let's
man.
Go.
Let's
My finally. Man. It took us like a year and a half of doing this podcast, but I paid. We good. We in the
My
game.
My man. I appreciate yeah. that. I want to say thank you, bro, because I felt like when we had a conversation, when you were in the midst of your devastation, I could have been more kind, but I felt like you needed a kick in your ass. So I had to use specific language to be like, yo, I'm not trying to hear that right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what works. Well, you know, that's how I respond to that shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
It works. I wouldn't like,
No. But I'm saying, so again, people don't know the dynamics of what went down. But what I'm saying is I was very specific and strategic in how I spoke to you that time. Like, it was like, this ain't me, you know, because we've had plenty of, you know, sentimental and impactful conversation that was a lot less volatile per se. But in this particular case, I was very strategic and like, yo, this is what needs to happen. Fuck all that, P. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad it was received that way. So it's a beautiful thing. And then here, you know, you put that deposit down on that therapy. We're very pleased. We've been telling you for way too long now, bro.
Yeah, I know.
on my end, man, I'm good. Everybody is happy and healthy. Kids are doing well. Work, you know, work is work. Again, per the new year, my word is discipline, man. And I'm really locked in. I've been consistent. I mean, it's 9 days in, but that's a start. I'm 9 days consistent with everything I said I was going to do. So I'm moving in a good direction. I feel great about it. Like, I'm really, really pleased about it. So only good is going to keep coming from here. Sure. Miss April, please check in. How you been? How you feeling? What's going on?
First of all, let me say that it was beautiful hearing you guys actually take the time to think and be honest about how you feel. That's one of the things that I try to teach women all the time, because when people say, well, how do you feel? Oh, girl, I'm good. Quit lying. No, you're not. Stop playing.
Right.
You know, and as women, we take on so much. And to be able to just say, I'm good, sometimes you're not. For me, I actually am good. You know, I can honestly say that last year I was dealing with some health issues last year, and I closed down majority of the business. My daughter and son-in-law runs a lot of the business now. Thank God for those two. And now, you know, I have such a strong support system around me. Well, I always have. I'm actually allowing myself to utilize them. And when people say, hey, can I do? Yep. don't tell me, girl, call me. I will pick up the phone and put everybody to work. But what I love is the fact that people are receptive to that. They've been, a lot of times we don't know people are waiting to be of assistance. But if you don't put them in a position, you know, to be the miracle that you need, because everything you say is you all right, then is God not coming through, or is it you acting like ain't nothing wrong? So how can somebody be your miracle if you tell them everything is always right? So, but in this stage of life, I'm actually doing wonderful. I'm so excited about 2023. And one of my good friends, Dr. Bobby Price, he's like one of my besties, and y'all probably gonna have to have him on too, because he definitely help you with this holistic thing, and he be getting on me. But one of the things he told me the other day, he said, hey, I haven't seen you this happy in at least the last 18 months to 2 years. So being able to go through my own process and figure out what's off, you know, why do I feel this way, and realizing, you know, biological health stuff. You know, a lot of ladies, we don't talk about this, going through this perimenopause. I'm 47. So we don't know what happened. One minute we love y'all, the next minute we want to kill you. Then one minute I wake up excited, then 30 minutes later I'm crying, then I'm happy again. And you like, what is going on? Nobody talks to us about that. So I took the time to go through, go to functional medicine doctors last year to see what is up. Because I'm the fun one of the crew, but now I'm the Grinch. Like, what is up? And to be able to go through that and find out, oh, Miss Mason, yeah, you late going through this, but this is what's going on. And so handling that puts me in a position to where it's actually go time for me, and learning how to live in harmony, not balance. And I learned that from Jeff Bezos. He said, there's no work-life balance, there's work-life harmony. So being able to live in work-life harmony for me is great, because I check in with me first. I say no, no, and hell no, depending on who I'm talking to, because everybody can't handle just a simple no. So I'm good, you know, and with everything that's going on, and so glad I took the last probably 18 months to 2 years to really focus so I can be good today.
That's what's up. Well, shout out to you and all the goodness coming your way, for real. It's so funny. We just had this harmony, work-life harmony conversation, a couple days ago, Kev on stage. That was so cool, man. So it's crazy how it all goes full circle. So, Miss April, we did not allow our viewers an opportunity to get to know who you are as a person, and we don't want to do you any disservice. So please, please inform the people of who you are, what it is you do, and how great you are. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm April Mason, and I am a feminine lifestyle strategist. However, I've realized that my main focus and how I really help people in that is through mind transformation. So I help people switch their identity. I help people get what they want. I just happened to start off in the area of business years ago. And then I remember God was dealing with me about being in business and hustling and grinding, and you're not supposed to be hustling and grinding as a woman. And then I start really getting heavy into the feminine space. And I realized, you know what? A lot of women don't embrace the femininity because they don't know how to make an identity switch. And so I help people, men and women, because I have just as many, almost as many men that follow as women, but I help people really change their lives by making an identity switch. But my first mandate is to help women operate in their femininity and help men that love them be able to receive it.
And that is exactly our topic today. And the topic is basically, how can us men best support women in their path towards evolution?
Before you answer that, Miss April, I want to say the reason why that's the topic is because I really listen to everything you say, and I'm gonna tell you why I'm so excited to have you on for our listeners and supporters, is because when you speak, you're speaking to women, and it's interesting for me to listen to you talk from the space of a married man. You know, I'm what, 30 days newly in. Wed. You know, I'm new in, but I was taken well before the wedding in November, right?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting for me to listen to you speak, knowing that I feel I already have that woman in my life. So listening to you speak gives me insight on her that I don't think she necessarily would, because of how she's wired. She's not one to really articulate her thoughts and feelings through words, but through example.
Yes.
So I can see it a lot in her. So the thing I always take away when I'm listening to you talk to these women about, you know, how to upgrade themselves, how to elevate, how to attract the type of man they want. I'm always saying to myself, okay, so what type of man is that they're attracting? And that standard of man, what is he providing for her to be willing to make that attempt? Because for a lot of women, that stuff is foreign. Mm-hmm. And I know it's challenging based on my experience of what I've seen in my past relationships. So I really, really just wanted to say before we really got started that I appreciate your perspective, because it gives men in my position who are already taking insight on how we need to elevate and grow in order for our wives to feel comfortable to make those same adjustments when they need to, or when they, you know, when they're compelled to. But I realize that a woman has to be motivated, right? You got to be providing something for her as a man for her to feel comfortable enough to do that. So just from the bottom of my heart, Cecilia, I learned so much from you to help you with Sarai. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'm so glad you said that, because women say, oh my God, you give us a voice. You say what we can't say or that we don't know how to say. And the men say, I want to be the type of man that gets the type of woman that you're talking about. So how come that guy? What motivates that guy to get that type of woman? Because I've never experienced her before. And I was telling you probably won't, because that type of woman has a standard, and her standard has nothing to do with what you might think it is. You know, it's not about always your money. Of course, we do. We want to be protected and provided for. But feminine women, we choose men differently. We don't just look at what kind of car he drives. It's basic stuff that's on TikTok and YouTube and all these other folks. I say these clowns with a mic, you know, telling these women that, you know, women don't want average men. No, we don't want average thinking men. Mm-hmm. Because if we look at it, the average man in America is not even making $60,000 a year. So if we know this as a whole, it's not the money, it's the mindset. And an average mindset, it's like, I'm allergic to that, honey. This is something I cannot do, because you're limited in your thinking. And I believe when women rise up, now I'm one that believes that men build the world, but women nurture it.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
I thoroughly believe that, but I also believe that we've gotten out of the position of nurturing it, not necessarily because of choice, but because of circumstance. And I heard Wallow say something that was so profound about 2 weeks ago. He said that, you know, while a lot of our men were locked up, we were the ones going to school, becoming CNAs, you know, doing the doggone thing. So now it's like we wanted someone that was at least equal to us. And so I believe that's how it became to where women are more looking for a particular type of man. But I also find that the type of man that they come to me for those of you that didn't know, I was a dating coach and matchmaker for almost 15 years. The men that women come to me for, they didn't know how to make an identity switch to become the type of woman that masculine man would want. Mm. So it's like they use their credentials as the calling card, but the type of men that they wanted could care less about the credentials. So then it becomes, these men are intimidated. These men are men that don't want women that are successful. And what I've learned, because I tend to date successful men, is they love a very smart and intelligent woman, but they also like a woman that understands what it means to be a woman at the same time too. So it was never about the degree. It was always about leaving your femininity behind. And I think that's where extreme feminism has came in and caused issues, because I was on a show last night, and I was explaining that Grandmama Nim didn't have the opportunity to be successful. If you think about it, men created the gold digger. How is you say that, April? Because women were never given rights from the beginning. Women were looked at as property. Women were sold off from their families for cows and land and everything else. So now you have women from back then that are, you know, raising young girls, and at 12 and 13 and 14, they're grooming them to be wives. Why? Because you can't take care of yourself. So now I have to put you in a position to get the best man possible. So now here come gold digger. Oh, wow, these women just want men for money. Well, men created that because you never gave women rights. So of course, we're going to go after the man that can protect and provide. And then the saying, girl, you can't keep a man and it makes you look bad. It comes from the fact that women had to keep a man to survive. Now you have big mama and them, great, great grandmama, and then your mama, they're dealing with these things. So now they tell you, girl, you can't trust no man. Get your own ish, could have your own stuff, because what people that say, I want women to go back to the old day, these modern women, what they're saying is, I want women to go back to oppression. Because if we're truly honest, a lot of those women back then were not happy. They
made it
because of circumstance and survival purposes, not necessarily because they loved him. And women function more in their femininity from a naive space because they didn't want to rock the boat. Because I don't want to lose what I have. And then when daddy dies, what happened? He didn't have a whole family on the other side of town. He was out doing what he needed to do for him.
Sound like you're talking about my grandfather.
Huh?
Sound like you're talking about my granddaddy.
I wasn't messing with granddaddy, but if it's true.
My too.
So then you wonder why women were so programmed to go get the bag, especially Black women. Black women were not taught to go to college to get a husband or anything else like other cultures were. That's where you find your man. Well, for us, Black women were taught to be workhorses and work mules and go get the bag, girl, do this, do that, all of this stuff. And from the 1950s and 60s, women's health issues skyrocketed with the cervical cancers, with the breast cancers and fibroids and all that, because we went into the workforce in a masculine way because we felt like, hey, it's a man's world. So we have to function like men at the sacrifice of suppressing who we are as women. So I get it. I don't knock them. But at the same time, we now see the detriment in that. We now see an unbalanced world. We now see that women at their core really desires a masculine protector and provider. But because we're so out of whack, we don't even know how to get to that. And then you have so many effeminate men walking around here. That's like, you know, you got to take me on a date too. You got to do this for me too. I seen a video saying a soft life for the Black man. I'm like, bro, can we not have something? Like
a what?
I seen a video. I had to send it to you. It was a video called Soft Life for the Black Man.
That's what I thought you said.
What does that even look like? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, he was washing the dishes. He had to get him some tea. Everything that we do.
That's a soft life?
But see, that's what he considered it. But the thing is, I have to always explain to women, soft life and femininity are two different things.
Yeah.
So they you can pay for conveniences to be taken care of for you to live a soft life. So I could be a woman that say, you know, I'm going to get a maid. I'm going to get a nanny. I'm going to get a driver. I'm going to, you know, have my groceries delivered. All of those things that give me a softer, easier life. That has nothing to do with me embracing my femininity. That just means I had a couple of dollars and I'm able to lighten my load.
Touché.
So this whole soft life movement is pseudo femininity. It's like, no, this is not what femininity is. You know, femininity is you as a being. I said, how can you be a feminine woman and embrace that? And we live in an unbothered culture. The number one key to being a feminine woman is your ability to feel, but we're unbothered. You know, nothing moves us. So can you really compare the soft life movement with femininity when everybody's unbothered? And that's not, unbotheredness is not a trait of being feminine. It's okay to be bothered. You just choose how you're being bothered.
Okay. Great. So what would you say are men's shortcomings when it comes to...
Wait, can we just pause for like 1 second?
Go ahead.
There's a lot there.
There's definitely a lot to unpack.
Like that's a lot. And because you touch on so many good points and perspective that I quite frankly never even thought about like that. Obviously, I'm aware, right? Like I'm aware, but you don't correlate the two. Right. Like we know history, right? We know a couple things that are fact, right? Like Black women are the most educated population in North America, right? Like we understand that. We understand that women's you couldn't, as a woman, couldn't own a house unless a man signed off on it, right?
Or get a credit card until the 1960s without a husband.
Right? Like, I understand all those things. And that said, I still never put it all together. You know what I mean? So you women swung the pendulum, right? Because I agree with you. Like, my grandmothers, my great aunts, all those people, there was a component of self-preservation, right? There was absolutely a component of self-preservation. So that then creates a learned behavior, right? And that learned behavior, conscious or subconsciously, gets passed down to your children, right? To some degree. And then it's also like you talk about like the scarcity mindset, right? Where our grandparents weren't necessarily living in abundance because they were depending on somebody, you know. Like, my grandfather had his own business, and my grandmother kind of worked, but not really, you know what I mean? So so there was a level of dependence. And then I'm guessing, in an effort to do better and more for your child, you instill in them, go get your own.
Go get it.
You don't need a man.
Do what I couldn't do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. So then that now creates a different dynamic, because now they swung the pendulum in a lot of cases, right? Where it's, and again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I feel like there could be some things lost in the message, right? It's like, don't do what I do, but that doesn't mean in the absence of a man, right? Like, hey, I want you to be good by yourself if you need to be. But I think somewhere, like you talked about, these credentials, all these great attributes that these women have, sometimes I feel personally that that's a easy way out, right? Like, I've done all these things, I've achieved all these things, so I should get this, right? I deserve this. Where, in my opinion, sometimes those things, and men too, this isn't just women, men too, like, I'm guilty of it personally. Sometimes we lean on these things as enough. Like, I've done this. But the difference now, like today, like, those things are more normal than not, right? Like having a highly educated woman, right? Like, that's more normal now than it was 20 years ago, right? Even like, not even 50 years, 20 years ago. So now all these women are coming to the table with all these things, credentials. But to your point, right? How many of them are working on identity?
Right, yes. So everything you're saying is surface. Everything you're saying is surface. Surface, and it's none of the internal work.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I've done these things, this is a strong word, but kind of like entitlement, right? Like, I've done all these things, so now I deserve this. I should have this. But that, in my opinion, right, at the state, I'm 40 years old, so, and I'm married, but if I was single, like, that's table stakes, right? Like, that's table stakes. I'm educated, so I expect somebody to be educated that I'm dealing with, right? Like, I'm a hard charger. I expect somebody to either understand how to support me or also be a hard charger that I can support, right? So these things, like masters, all that, that's all great. But, like, again, it's more normal than not, right? At least in the circles that I'm in, right? Like, it's more normal than not. So I don't know. There was a lot. I probably should have took more notes. There was a lot there that you said that that was very, very interesting. So
I get what you're saying. I was on a podcast the other day, the lady, we were talking, and she helps women. She's a dating coach as well. And she was saying, April, I meet these amazing women, and, you know, they have all this stuff, and we're trying to get them to get these high value men. I said, let me help you somewhere. I said, you're trying to make them something. You're trying to get them to obtain something that they're not qualified for. So you're equating their degrees and how much money they have and being successful with, they deserve this kind of guy. I said, exactly. So years ago when I first started this, so there's a video on my YouTube channel, maybe back in 2009. And I talked about something about, do you qualify? And I said, so you got the Walmart chick, you got the JCPenney's chick, You got the Macy's a little bit more than JCPenney's. Then you got the little Dillard's, and then the little after Dillard's, you got Neiman Marcus. And
Nordstrom's.
From Neiman Marcus, you go straight to you go to Saks, and then after Saks, you have a personal shopper come to the house. And I said, a lot of the problem is women are looking at the fact that they have the Neiman Marcus, or the they've done the things to be Saks Fifth Avenue on paper, but being the woman is still at Walmart. So now, and I was explaining to her, I said, you're trying to help them do this because you're looking at them as that. I don't look at them as that, because that hasn't gotten them what they wanted. So we need to raise your womanhood and what it means to be a woman up to where the Saks Fifth Avenue education is. I said, that's where the problem lies, because you think because you have these credentials or highly achieving successful women, that don't mean ish in the world of man. And from what I've experienced, as well as me coaching some of the world's most successful men, Black men at that, they don't care about that. They're so, it's like, okay, yeah, that's cute. But yeah, do you know how to be a safe space for me? Do you know how to be vulnerable and create a space where I can come lay in your lap and know that what I share with you is not going anywhere? Do you know how to receive my Clark Kent and respect that I'm Clark Kent 95% of the time, but it, although the world sees me as Superman, can you respect my Clark Kent? They don't know what I'm talking about when I say that. Mm-hmm. I said, but the type of man that you say you want, that's going to be required of you, not that degree. The degree is fine. I'm all for getting educated and being a woman in business. I am that. We run multiple companies. However, that does not supersede my womanhood. I'm not a businesswoman. I'm a woman in business. Those are two different things. And so I believe that women think they deserve this type of man because of what they've accomplished, whereas men are the accomplishers. Like a woman, I could just go look pretty, honey, and be working at McDonald's, and some man that's doing well for himself will see me and sit back and be, and I talk to him, and I bat my eyes a little bit, and I be a little nice to him. He'd be like, you want to go out? Yes, I do. And I ain't got to have, I could be making $10,000 a year, but because of how he felt in my presence, that thing, you know, that makes him say, girl, I'm about to take you off this job.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the part that I try to help women understand, to raise that Neiman Marcus, that Saks Fifth Avenue of education and credentials that they have, match their womanhood at that same level.
Do you find that that's more prevalent in, because like when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of the fellas, and there's a lot of Walmart dudes out there who got the degrees and the cars and all that good stuff, but their emotional EQ is, you know what I'm saying? So I'm listening to, so do you find that to be more prevalent? I mean, I know your basis is women, so I don't know the answer, but like, do you find that to be more prevalent in women than men? Because I feel like
it's equal. It's equal, because I work with the top tier men that most women say that they want. I work with them up close and personal, and I call them high earning men, not high value men. And women don't understand the difference in between the two. So they'll, like last night I was on my live and there was one girl, she said, Miss April, one of your friends, I love him. How do I get a man like that? I said, really? I said, do you know him, or are you only looking at the power that he exudes when he has the mic? I said, because I know him on a personal level. I know his hurts, his pains, and his vulnerability. Do you want to know that stuff?
Right.
You know, you're just looking at this. And I said, and first of all, that one I'm very protective of, because we done worked hard to get him to where it's even, he could even trust a woman, you know, because, you know, he went to jail behind a woman setting him up. So I ain't even going to let none of y'all come in here and mess that one up. I said, but you got to understand that a lot of these men that you see are high earning men, but a lot of them are broken at the same time too. So what I call that is, I have a term for it. I call it basic dick, is what I call it. I call it basic dick. And the basic dick is this. He has a career, not a job. He knows how to talk well. You know, he knows how to converse. He can wine and dine you. He says his sex game is great. He has a little portfolio, might own a couple pieces of properties or something. You know, he knows how to treat you like a lady. He dresses nice. He smells good. He drives nice, but he has no substance. That's basic dick. And women get all in their feelings, like, oh my God, he the one. I'm like, but he has no substance. He has the things, the basic things. So although he presents like Saks, he's still Walmart because he's a high earning, not a high value. He has not done the work to heal his wounds. He hasn't done the work to even know how to receive what a feminine woman is. He doesn't even understand the value that that type of woman would have, because guess what? Y'all over here, y'all never required anything other than from him than being basic today. That's all he was required to do. So if you don't have the standard and all these men have to do is provide you with a nice, you know, he hired a nice car, take you out, and he living nice, and that's all you require. Now he has arrested development. He has no reason to actually go deep within himself unless he has an aha moment, a spiritual moment within himself, which we know a lot of men don't have. And a lot of the motivation behind when men change normally is because of a woman, something that happened in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So if women aren't requiring you to be more than basic dick, you think you're doing good. I remember I was dating this guy. This had to be about 2018, and I liked him. I liked him a lot. He was a VP at this little company here in Atlanta doing his thing. We had a great time. Well,
don't say too much.
Little VP. Don't say too
much. Little VP. I made me laugh a little. You hit them with the
little VP. Well, the thing was, we had so much fun, and I know he was extremely sexually attracted to me. And I'm a woman. I got to be able to justify giving it to you. You can't just do these things. So he was pretty much basic dick. So me being who I am, you know, so I can keep it real with y'all.
We appreciate it.
I remember we would have such a great time, and he would be trying, and he would be trying to, you know, really impress me and all that stuff. And so I remember one day he came by my house, and I sat a chair in the middle of the floor, and I had this cute little sundress on. And I said, sit in the chair. He said, sit in the chair. Damn. And he said, what's that? And I straddled him over the chair, and I said, don't touch me. And I pulled his ear to my mouth, and I said, you want to sleep with me, don't you? And he was like, I really do. And I said, but here's the thing. I said, I want to give it to you too, but I can't. And the reason why is because the tricks in your bag are too low. The way you move with me shows me the type of women that will just give it up to you because you're a nice guy, you're a VP, you drive nice, you take me to nice places. That's all you're used to doing. And I said, to be honest with you, you don't know where to go from here with me because you've never been required to do so.
And you're saying this while straddling this man in the middle of a room?
In the middle of my living room, yeah.
So
he's still.
I need him to understand that.
Hey, you trying to create a star?
All of this could have been yours.
He's still hurt right now to this day.
He outside. He told
all
now.
His friends that story in
2018.
Yeah, right. He outside in the bushes.
In the car right now.
I needed him to see this is a grown woman. And it's a possibility. This is something that you could have, but you got to understand in this moment, what's stopping you from us being together, even as a relationship, is the fact that you're just a high earning man.
Right.
Just knows how to take me out and have a great time.
So being more specific, obviously you delivered that message to him. Did you give him the opportunity to evolve, or were you like, nah, this is it right here?
He couldn't.
Yeah. So that was my question. Did you give it to him? Because we're very literal, very stupid at the same time. Did you give him bullets? This is what you need to do. Or was worth doing that?
Ms. April, please, right. Please let me know.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
He's maxed out. Right.
Yeah. Like right.
That's,
okay.
That's what he does. That's who he is, right? Like that's he doesn't go past that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like he gave it all, everything he had, he gave to her.
No more tricks in the bag.
For them 4 months,
Yeah.
But it wasn't
everything he was trying, it wasn't getting him closer to the booty at all.
4 months?
I was enjoying his company. We go out, we have a good time, you know, go to play. I mean, he was just a fun guy.
I met him
on the dance floor. I was at a club. I met him on a dance floor, and he was a great guy. We just happened to both be there for a party for two other people. And we met, he walked up to me on a dance floor. He's like, you in that dress. And I said, you in that cologne. I said, I smelt you before you got over here. And so it was that fun and flirty banter. And we just took it from there. But there was no laying down with nobody, because even if I wanted to, like really, really bad, because of the woman I've evolved into, I'm disciplined and I'm in control of my body. You don't just get to lay down just because we've had a wonderful time and I actually like you and I like what you represent. But then, like Bell said, he capped out. So yeah, there was nothing for me to actually tell him.
Oh, I think she froze. Or did I freeze?
He didn't have anywhere else to go.
I think that's so. So for me, I'm looking at just self-awareness. You said 4 months. He rode the wave for 4 months and didn't get no play. At no point in that 4 months did he want to self-assess and go, "This got to be something wrong." Mm. Women know what they want.
Well, you got to think. Go get what they want. Of a major company, and he already runs things and probably got his situation set up in a way that's completely comfortable. Him giving his all is going to be what his standard of approaching a woman is going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if his thing is showering her with gifts and stepping it up there, that's all the nigga got.
Yeah, but when you see that that don't work, you ain't got no plan B. You ain't got no plan B. You ain't got a mirror to be like, fam. Like,
I think you're missing something.
I'm thinking from just like he clearly.
Bro, there is. That's out.
You're doing
that's
you.
It, bro.
You're
that's
doing it. What you are like, thinking like you would yo, think.
Yeah, like that's you got to sit back and go, damn, play. It's been 120 of them things and you ain't getting no play.
Right.
Like,
you gotta hang out. She hangs out with me. We go out. I love being around her. And all of, the whole time, I'm just as friendly and feminine and doing everything that I do, being as a woman. And he just can't continue to come toward me. However, he didn't know where else to go. You know,
and that's probably typical for the women he attracts. Like that was enough.
Yeah, right?
Like everything he did for you was
her
enough.
Point. Yeah, for sure.
So,
go ahead, Prentice.
My bad.
No. Go.
We
go
all
ahead.
Got hella questions.
No, so, but I want you to go because you're prone to forget shit. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know I am, man. And I ain't even smoked today, so you know my memory's a little better today. So what made you get to the point with him that told you needed to let him know? You get what I'm saying? Was it going too long for you? Because you said you were enjoying the company, right?
Yeah. At that time, I was just dating. You know, I was dating. He wasn't the only person that I was dating, but he was the one that I actually enjoyed spending time with the most. So there was no pressure on my end. And I believe when, as a woman who knows who she is and what she stands for and her boundaries and her standards, you can go out and still not sleep with nobody and have a good time, you know? And so I just enjoyed that, but I knew... It was not quite 4 months. It was more so three and a half. I knew, all right, he just showed you what it is. Because I allow a man to show me who he is. I don't tell you what I'm looking for. I allow you to be you. Just like I don't try to change a man. All I do is assess what you bring and decide if that is something that I am open to. It's the same what I believe men should do. Don't try to change a woman. Just see if she comes into your life. And if what she brings is enough for you to say, okay, she's not perfect, but I can compromise on some things. But what she is, okay, yeah, I like this. At this point now I can show her, because I have a genuine like for who she is as a person. Now I can show her the best way to move with me. But you don't try to show nobody the best way to move with you until you see how they actually move on their own.
Right.
So I was allowing him to move on his own. And so, like I said, I was having fun. We were going out. I remember we went to a Will Downing concert. We would just it was just a great, fun time. But I knew eventually, you know, and I know with y'all, it'd be like on day one when y'all be looking at us, be like, okay, you know, I want to hit that. I knew that. I'm very aware. I have a family full of men. My best friends are all men, have schooled me. Ape, off the rip. Listen, we're going to tell you this, and I want you to take it with you. And if a man asks you out, if he walk by you and do a double take and tell you you're pretty, if he asks for your phone number, if he do anything, bottom line. So I go into situations with men understanding that off the rip. You're not here just because you think I'm smart. Right. That's not your initial reasoning. Now, once you get to know me, how you go about getting the booty is different. But on the onset, you asking me out, it had nothing to do with I was smart. It was the fact that you like how I looked and you like these hips and this skirt. I'm aware of that. And I wish more women would just accept that's just what it is. Now, how he moves as getting to know you, it could either be like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. I ain't going to rush into sleeping with her. Or it could be, yeah, this is one. Yeah, this is just a hit it and quit it type deal. So I believe how you present yourself as a woman. So with this guy, he was great if he could have rose up and gave me more than just the fun. I like depth, you know. Prentice, you've watched my stuff. You know, I'm an in-depth person. So to be able to be mentally stimulated, you know, being a sapiosexual, you got to bring something that makes me, oh, like, oh, so this is what we're doing. We having these verbal dialogues. I love that. He couldn't do that because women prior didn't require, because he was a VP. Mm-hmm. He drove nice. You know, he looked nice. He dressed nice. Very much so a gentleman. But that was it. And so me, that wasn't good enough. So I didn't like totally do like, you got to get out of here. I assessed him for those 90 days or so, or more. It was more than 90 days. I assessed him and just let him run out and be him. I watched his consistency, his efforts, his patterns. You know, I watched to see if his actions lined up with his words. I'm not going to tell you your actions don't line up with your words. I'm going to assess. And when I see those basic things are in alignment, then I can say, you know, I love getting good morning texts. I'm going to see if you do that ahead of time. If you don't, but I like other things about you, now I teach you the things that I like, but not before. Mm.
Makes sense.
It's interesting because Deion Sanders has this quote that I've been using a lot lately, and I think it is pertinent here. He talks about how these college athletes have like these NIL deals, so they get paid and all this stuff. And he talks about how the brand, right, what you present has to match the work.
Yes.
You know, and I think a lot of times with men and women, you know, like they present this brand, but the work may not coincide with the brand. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot to what you're taught, speaks to a lot of what you're saying. And it's so crazy because I would imagine that VP, he probably was blindsided by that to a degree because it's always worked, you know, so he hasn't had to change, you know. But I think this speaks to men and women. Why would you change, right? If it's always worked and you go after a certain level of person, right? Like you attract what you attract, right? And then it always works. Why wouldn't you change? It doesn't happen. You're not questioned with the thought of changing until you try to level up, you know, and you don't get what you want, you know? So
until you're very in a position where you figure out and you're faced with what I am doesn't get me this over here. Mm-hmm. This is what I want, but it's a stop sign right here. So who do I need to become to push past the stop sign? Because I've never had to deal with this before. I've always been good as is. And that goes for men and women. I see it with women all the time. It's like, girl, you say, bro, I want this kind of man. I was like, okay, if I don't know nothing else, I know how these successful type men like this, I know how they move. You, this ain't gonna work. Well, why not? Don't ask me why. I don't make the rules. I just understand how it works. But this is not going to work for that particular guy. And so the problem falls in, people don't want people where they are. There's somebody that will accept you for who you are. Yep. Be okay with that person. But you get on this, you're on Beyonce's internet and TikTok here when you're talking about get you a man that's going to make six figures and he's going to take care of you and wine and dine, all of these things. But you're not the type of woman that type of man would wine and dine, but you're the type of woman that this level of man would wine and dine. So why is where you're at not good enough? And why try to make a person that has a requirement for you to be this, why make them wrong? Mm. You know, either level up or, you know, or get out the way. But people seem to not want folks on their level. And I'm like, I said, all right, everybody in the Bible, people in church talk about Boaz. Well, everybody ain't going to have no Boaz. Somebody got to go have John. Somebody got to go have Peter. Somebody going to have Joshua. All of y'all are not Boaz, wife, Ruth material. Everybody is not a Michelle Obama and can handle that sixth level of success. As a woman who is in those circles, that's a hard job to have when you're dealing with that level of a success of a man. But they see the finished product. They don't see what's going on behind the scenes. So I always say, well, what's wrong with the type of men that you attract now? Like the ones, so he makes $55,000 a year. Okay, so you make 60. Okay, so what's wrong with that guy? why is it that you over here thinking that there's something wrong with him? Or even for the fellas. I remember there was a guy, this is what, about a year ago, I went into the barbershop to get my lineup, and barbershop owner, very attractive guy. He owns several barbershops. But when I walked in one time, he finally said something to me. He says, you wouldn't date no regular dude. And I'm like, here we go.
Strike one.
Boom.
I deal with that on a regular basis.
Strike one.
And I said, what makes you say that? He said, well, you always come in here together. And he said, and then you, he said, you drive a Tesla.
So he basically just walked up and be like, hey, listen, I know I'm not good enough for you, but what's up?
So stay in your lane.
Right.
So what will happen is,
that's wild,
you'll label me as bougie or label me as too much or high maintenance. And all it is I'm out of your budget.
His opening line was, you don't date regular dudes.
Yep. He said, he told me about my Tesla, and I said, yeah, you're right. I don't date regular thinking dudes. You're absolutely correct.
I think sometimes people have a hard time recognizing the energy that's put in front of them, right? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you can have a powerful energy in front of you of somebody who is just vibrating at a higher frequency, mm-hmm. and misinterpret that because you're on a lower frequency for conceit or arrogance, or you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't, I think a lot of people misdiagnose the energy they receive. And then also you got to be able to receive what's put in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh boy, I keep going back to the story. Oh boy has to be able to receive you on the chair.
VP homie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm still thinking about him too. Yeah, go ahead.
We clearly feel for this man, eh?
Right.
We clearly feel for him.
Because just off of listening to you speak and you say something like that, just speak for myself. To me, it's like, okay, this is clearly something I want, and something about me is not resonating with her. I got to level up. He didn't have that intrinsic motivation right there alone. And on top of that,
like Bell said, he didn't have, he's never had a reason to even figure. See, at that point, what would have been the proper thing to do was, okay, I need to figure out how her brain actually.
Exactly. Goes. That's what I'm thinking. But that, so he was just like, yeah, well, this ain't for me then. And just walked and just like, let it go.
Actually, no, it wasn't that. It was more so we kind of drifted, because it was not, I don't have ugly breakups and ugly, you know, stuff like, I don't think it's required. We kind of just got drifted, you know, and when sometime last year, he slid in my DM last year, but it wasn't that. It was just kind of like, I don't think he knew where to go, but I also think that experience put him in a position to either do one or two things, to say, I'm going to continue to date women that I am the hero for.
Mm-hmm.
And they look up to me, or I'm not happy with this. And I see men do this a lot. They will complain in the barbershop and with their homeboys about the women, the low hanging fruit women that they keep dealing with. But they won't ever say that I'm going to upgrade who I am mentally, spiritually, and emotionally as a man, so I can get that over there.
So in my head, both of those options were bad. I was hoping you were going to say his option is to, you know, take the ladder or be like, you know, it's time to level up. He's just going to go complain the whole time and still not level up.
Yeah. Well, but we see a lot of men that do that, though. That's why you have these old clown podcasters talking about women the way that they do. Anytime I hear women spewing hate about men or men spewing hate about women, that lets me know where your standard is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because so, one thing, another way to sum up everything she said about the barbershop guy and a lot of these guys is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, self-awareness, right? Like, I tell my sales team all the time, like, nobody wants to be told that they're the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be told that they're the problem. So it's like we create narratives that absolves us of blame, right? Or absolves us from responsibility, right? Like, oh, she drives a Tesla, she ain't dealing with no regular dudes, right? Where it's like, no, bro. Like, why are you considering yourself a regular?
Right. First of all, why are you
considering?
Right?
Like, yeah. It goes back to the value of self.
So if that's where you are, cool. Date regular chicks, right? Like, why? If you were where she was, would you want to date a regular guy? Right. Like quote unquote. So it's like self-awareness, right? And I also personally believe that, we can get comfortable, right? We can get comfortable with, and again, going back to the VP guy.
We're going to call this episode the VP guy.
We're going to wait. We're going to wait for him too.
If you reach, if you listening, man, just holler at us, man. We can talk,
no,
bro.
Don't holler at us. Just do better, bro. Just do better
next time. No, but no, it's like, maybe he did have extreme self-awareness, right? And he's just like, nah, I'm gonna go back to the other side, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go back to what, I'm gonna go back to what works. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is cool, but I ain't gotta work this hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could pull up and do what I do for 10 days, not 90, right? And get where I want to go. Yeah. So you can default back to that, you know? So this is a very interesting conversation, you know?
But it goes back to something you said earlier, Bill. You said that with Black women being, you know, the largest educated population, what I see is a lot of Black men who are not on that level, not having self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yep.
Because as a successful woman myself, I've ran into guys that were like, I don't want to know about April Mason, the author, this and that and the third. I want to know about this woman over here. I said, so what you're trying to do is make yourself comfortable and with who I am because of who you are. Mm-hmm. So you want to just disqualify all of this other stuff and put a wall up than what the world knows. True enough, I'm her, but I am her too. But don't act as though they're not intertwined.
Exactly. You know,
together. And so instead, what I found why that happens is because of how they view themselves.
100%.
If most women, especially Black women, are doing better and more successful as Black men, especially in their bank accounts, that means if you consider yourself a regular guy, you're the school teacher, you're the janitor, you work for UPS, you're a truck driver, you can still have that woman, but it's not going to be your money that secures her. It's right. going to be your security within yourself to assess and say, okay, wait a minute. All right, she live good, she drive good. How do I play a role in her life?
Exactly.
And right. then understand that regardless of her driving a Tesla, living in a high rise and all that stuff, she's still a woman. Mm-hmm. So how do I give her that protection, that emotional, physical, and mental protection? How do I still provide for this woman at this level of a man that I am? And what you'll find is she probably will be open to you with you coming in that way, then looking at her and trying to bring her down to your level so that you can actually align with her.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what it is that you can, how you can still be a part of her life. And I think that if men did that and that their self-esteem, and once again, get off Jay-Z's internet and stop listening to people tell you that you're an average man. No, you might be an average thinking man, or women don't want more average men. We're okay with you doing what you do to the best of your capability. What we're not okay with is you having insecurities about who you are and you deflecting that BS on us.
100%.
And that's, 1,000.
I think that's so dangerous. Thinking like just for myself, I was like that in my previous relationship because she was so accomplished from an educational space and owned a couple of properties, and mentally that already put me at a disadvantage in my own eyes.
With yes.
I end up getting with this woman. I end up having a baby with this woman. I end up marrying this woman. And now I'm in a marriage where I have made myself feel insufficient in comparison to her. So when we have decisions that we have to make, I may default to her choice because I feel inadequate overall in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what happens, you go through years of doing this and you find yourself sinking deeper and deeper into a hole, not understanding why, because your whole initial approach was that you guys were not equal. You know what I mean? And so I found myself, I think it's a big detriment to us as men. A lot of us do that and don't speak on it because I found myself having to repair, finding the right woman in the process of reparation. You know what I'm saying? So now I got to unlearn this attitude. I got the right one. And now I got to show her a more confident man. But because I'm used to putting myself down in the eyes of a woman, I don't really know how to do that. You know what I mean?
So it puts the why does she treat you less than?
I try to. Did she treat me less than? I would say, yeah, from my honest space. Yeah. If I'm like, fuck it. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if it was because of that. I think it was just because of her standard of life and standard of living and what she expected as a result of what she accomplished, which is her own choice and her own perspective, which she's entitled to. But I could be saying, yeah, now, and still, because of my insecurities back then, even though I've grown, I could be incorrect.
Because, you know what I'm saying? This is why I asked. Because normally when a woman is successful in her own right, and she's still choosing to deal with you, normally it's y'all deflecting on us. Because at the end of the day, I had somebody tell me before, why don't you date them celebrities that you're around? You're around all of these celebrities, these ball players, all of this stuff. You know, I'm just a man that, you know, I own a home improvement company. And I'm like, you do know if I wanted them, did I have them? But I chose to be with you. So why is it hard for you to accept that? So what actually happened was, instead of him just really accepting that, you know, no, I like you, you're all in muscles. You know, I'm a muscle girl. All of you, all of that stuff that you got going on, and just you be walking around with your shirt off and I just be about to lose it. But because he could not just receive the fact that I want you, I see you with all of these people and all of this stuff. Okay, I said, you know, I work with a lot of these people. A lot of these men that y'all see me with, they're my clients. And I would never date them because they have arrested development. They're used to buying chicks. So just because you see a thing doesn't mean that's what the thing is. And what tends to happen in those cases is that as a woman, I'm not fixing to try to make you feel comfortable and dim my light for you.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So it puts you in a position as a woman when you understand that the majority, and I hate to say it, but the majority of our men who view themselves as regular men could not handle a successful and feminine woman. It puts you in a position to say, I don't date these people at all. And it just happened, the people that seem to actually be able to handle your success and who you are just happen to not look like you. Doesn't mean we don't want you. But they don't have that same inferiority complex. And not only that, they can receive your femininity because in their culture, in their race, they're used to feminine women anyway. Whereas a lot of our men, they have the strong, independent mama. I want a woman that work hard like my mama. Well, I'm not the woman for you because I'm not doing that. What was your mother's quality of life? Right. I don't want that. Don't call me a strong, independent Black woman. I am a resilient woman, interdependent woman. But don't call me a strong, independent Black woman, because when you do that, you're not putting in your mind's eye somebody that needs assistance, somebody that needs your help. When I think about strong, I do not think about a soft and gentle woman. I don't think about that. You know, when I was doing a podcast last year and I was asking the gentleman, I said, if you had some luggage to carry, what animal would you pick? They were like, oh, I would pick an elephant. I'll pick a lion. I'll pick a camel. I said, why would you not pick a rabbit, a little mouse, you know, a little gerbil? They're like, well, it can't handle it. I said, that's my point. As a woman that operates in her femininity, you might not be used to this, but subconsciously you're going to put extra ish on my back because all you know is strong, independent women. So now here I come saying, when men are around, my wrists are broken, I need some assistance, and I'm a damsel in distress. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? You extra? No, I'm a woman. Right. And I'm not, you're not going to put unnecessary stuff on my back because this is what you've grown accustomed to. And women have proven, Black women have proven throughout the years, we can handle it. Well, my back hurt and I cannot handle it. So I opted out of even dealing with men that didn't know off the rip on sight, oh yeah, I see what you are. And treated me and handled me with care to where it's like, nah, I like this. And so happened, they don't always happen to be brothers. And it's not.
I've never heard that perspective ever until just now.
It's definitely enlightening.
It's not because we don't want
y'all. You said what?
It's not because we may not want y'all. Women in my space, I'm not talking about all of these boss chicks and bad bitches. I'm talking about with Black women who know what it means to be a woman and operate in her femininity and her softness and her vulnerability and her sensuality, her resilience, her resourcefulness, all of those things, and knows how to treat her man on top of that. A lot of our men have never seen it, so they will sabotage it, or they will try to beat you into submission into what they're accustomed to. Yep. So I have made the decision of, it's a no. If you can't recognize and feel what I am on sight, it's.
I love this whole conversation, first and foremost, but I love the light that you're shining on femininity, right? It's like both things can be true, right? You can be an interdependent woman working really hard, very successful while being feminine, right? Yes, and I think the narrative. And again, I blame social media, right? I blame social media.
These like, clowns, what am I?
Yeah, I just blame social media. Like, it's like, like, what is like, I'm a bad bitch. I'm this, I'm independent. What does that even mean? Like, okay, I understand the title. Like, in practicality, like, what does that mean, right? How does that look?
To me, it's, you know, you don't like being a woman. If I gotta present like a man, that means I don't like being a woman.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. And again, to each his own, right? To each his own. I just feel, actually, I'll save that for my final thought. My next comment, I'll save.
So how do we, or is there a delicate way for the Saks Fifth man to help the Walmart lady evolve?
Is he Saks? Is that all intrinsic? Go ahead.
He's the
360 Saks Fifth, I guess. He's all around. He's got it all.
Well, I think he would have to see, just like, for instance, I would be that woman. So that means if I see a man that does not necessarily understand what I am, but yet he gets a glimpse, at that point, it's up to you to decide if you want to see just how much they know or see how open-minded that they are at that moment. My tolerance level is like real low because I've already experienced that. You know, I've experienced designer guy that brings the fashion designer brings the clothes to the house, but he has no substance, so he's still Walmart, you know, or you have the Nordstrom's guy or JCPenney's guy that sees you as, you know, the Saks Fifth Avenue, and he's still on Walmart mind with the same, you know, stuff, dealing what he's dealing with the man that has all of the money and all of the stuff. So for me, my tolerance for it is very like, it's normally enough. Another example, went out with this guy, 2018. He was one of the ones that was, you know, that was in that, in my little.
I was about to say 2018 was hard for these dudes.
I was having a good time. I had recently become an empty nester. I was like, okay, let's see what we got. One guy, really attractive guy. You know, I loved and enjoyed his conversation. When we first met, we went to this little sports bar. Had a good time. I wasn't tripping out, you know, because it was, I'm going to see what you're going to do. We went to this little sports bar that was like on a Tuesday. Had a wonderful time. We acted up, you know, at the bar. I said, I don't drink because I'm a funny drinker. You know, I'll get the party started. So let's not drink. We had a great time. He taught me how to play pool. I was in his environment. It was like a Tuesday. Now, I'm the type of person that I buy concert tickets. I'm a concert head. So I'll buy them in pairs because I don't know who I might take, if anybody, right? But I always buy them in pairs. And so just so happened that Saturday, Boney James was coming to town here. And so after our date that next day, he called. I said, hey, I got tickets to go to the concert. Would you like to go? He was like, cool. I love the fact that he called me Friday. And was like, listen. No, he called me Saturday morning for the concert and said, listen, so I know it's a picnic concert. What would you like to eat? So he grabbed the food and we had a cute little picnic. And I was like, okay. And he paid for parking and all that good stuff, right?
Where's it going?
It sounded promising.
It sure did.
We're sitting there and the music is going and all this good stuff. And I'm having a great time. And he gets quiet. And I'm like, you good? He was like, yeah. He said, I was just thinking. I said, well, love, what were you thinking? He said, well, April, I'm just an electrician, and I've been an electrician for 20 years. I'm thinking, we've already had this conversation. You know, I know. And then he says, well, I don't, you know, your lifestyle. And at that time, I was driving to BMW. He said, I don't know if I keep up with your lifestyle. I said, are we just not at a concert? we're just at a concert. So, you know, where's all of this coming from? So one of my best friends, his name is Jack Daniels. You guys probably should have him on too. He's a psychotherapist. Nice. And I was telling him what happened. He was like, hey, you know what happened, right? I said, what's that? He's like, he assessed if he could afford you in that moment, because his first initial meeting with you, he took you to a little sports bar. He said, but then you turn right back around and here you come with Boney James and y'all on a picnic and the whole nine. And so that's out of his element. I said, but I just enjoy talking to him. I enjoy hanging out with him. And so I understood that, but that's not my problem. So at the end of the day, you know, he wanted to, you know, get a little kiss. And I was like, nah, you done messed up the moment. You done talked yourself right on up out of that. And then my last example, went out with this guy. We at the movies. At that time, my children were young. They were in school. So he told me he was a school counselor. I'm like, okay, cool. He's probably going to, you know, make sure these boys, you know, stay on point. We get to the movie. And I'm like, okay, cool. We having a good time. Get into the movie. This joker whispers, he said, hey, did you get my text? And I was like, no. I looked at my text. This joker says, do you find me attractive? I'm like, here we go with the bull. In the middle of the movie. Fast forward, the movie's over. We're outside at the car. And now at this time, I'm not the April Mason that the world knows yet. I'm on my way to her. He says, well, you know what? I like you and I enjoy hanging out with you, but I don't think we're in the same tax bracket. And I don't know if you can respect what I do. I said, well, you do know my kids are in school. You do know you're the counselor and the coach. And my daughter's team is going to play your team tomorrow. We're going to spank that ass. But understand, how could I not respect you and who you are and what you do when I have children in school that need counseling or what are counselors or whatever? I mean, I respect what you do as a man because I mean, I'm a woman with these children. Like,
yeah, but I'm also here with you right now. Like,
I'm with you. I chose to come out with you. I knew. And the thing is, I knew what they all did prior to even accepting the date. So why would I accept the date if I had a problem with you being a school counselor, if I had a problem with you being a engineer, or if I even had a problem with you being a home model, you remodel homes. If I had a problem with that, I wouldn't have accepted the date. So what happens is they get into your world and they see how you move and how you function. And immediately is, I don't think I can afford that. I don't think I can keep up, maintain her lifestyle. So at that point, when that stuff was happening, I just decided I would not deal with anybody that was not where I am or above, because at least they can understand, yes, I do have a driver. Perfect example, I was on a video set and one of my friends heard, one of the guys on set said, I was like, where's my driver? Because like something's in the car, and he heard me say it. But when he heard me say it, he said, wait, did you say you got a driver? I said, yeah, I do. And I could see the sexy all in his face because it was sexy to him for me to say I had a driver. In his mind, oh, she's on my level. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. And so the guy that was doing my makeup, he said, you know, you made that dude leak a little bit when you said you had a driver, because that's who
got made him leak.
He's that guy that got the drivers and the chefs and all that. He said, so you know, that's what happened. And I'm like, because he looked at me like, driver? Like, for real? I'm like, yeah. Like, and it was a turn on for him versus, oh, I can't afford that because. So right. I just learned how to stay in my lane.
I think sometimes we can talk ourselves out of blessings too as men. I think sometimes sometimes it's not about like even being able to afford. Sometimes it's about this shit is too good to be true. And right now in this moment, I'm not prepared for what this can come with. So.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you it's out of your tax bracket, but the truth is, you know what I'm saying. If you're provided with an opportunity to level up, you got to be able to meet that moment. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to meet the moment and do the work to stay consistently where whatever's being presented to you. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes for us as men, it's easier to make an excuse for something that we don't 100%. Feel we value or are ready for. And yes. I think sometimes the money is an easy out. You know what I mean? You can see a woman who has it together, and but you paid for it. You paid for the parking. You paid for this. Don't got to happen every week.
No, that's
but I'm gonna tell you.
I always say that this is not an every week thing.
Yeah, but I think sometimes we have good moments and we see good women, and like you said something really profound. Like, we're not trained to see that. We don't know what that looks like. A lot of us don't. And I know for a lot of us, we've dated women who were successful, but on that side you talk about that they haven't worked on,
mm-hmm.
we're trash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes we tell ourselves as men that we have to settle for the trash in order to deal with the success, because
yes.
The successful woman is what we want. So I think sometimes we just make excuses for ourselves.
Yeah,
because we're not ready for it.
You're so on point with that. I had another one make an excuse. He was like, April, one man can't just give you any kind of thing. And I said, babe, let me ask you something. What the hell have you been giving to women that came before me that makes you feel like you got to give me all of this other stuff? What have they been accepting from you?
Right.
You know, he said, well, I've been in my house, April, since 1997. I don't live this lavish life. What he didn't understand in my eyes was, you've been in the same house and on the same job since 1997.
Consistency.
You are a police sergeant. Consistency, security, and that you have something that you've established. And just add on a little bit to the house for my clothes and I'm moving in. It didn't resonate.
1997, that mortgage about to be through too. In 1997, he about to be done paying that thing off.
That is what a woman like me heard. I'm like, 1997?
He don't hear that.
He doesn't hear it. All he sees is April, this woman. And so what those men tend to do, the very thing that they made them like you is the very thing that they don't like about you. Because that guy started saying, wow, you dress up all the time, bro. You met me together. This is who I am. Like, you, this is how you met me. So it becomes, let me try to knock her so that I can feel adequate, not realizing she's choosing to be here with me.
Mm-hmm.
They never see that part. It's like, all I see is, can I maintain the lifestyle? Not realizing, as a woman, we are amplifiers. So this particular guy was a police sergeant, and prior, he was getting ready to, he should be retiring probably next year or so. And he used to build houses. So how I qualify a guy to see if I can even be with him is, I have to see what your vision is. Because if I don't know what your vision is or how we can come together, because I'm an amplified woman, you got to give me something and I'm going to take it to the next level. The queen can make moves that the king cannot. So before I even qualify you, I have to see, will our purpose align? And do you have a vision that you need amplifying? Because I can take making money. That's easy. Helping a man make more money with just being a feminine being and your energy. Oh, that's easy. That's not a hard thing to do. It's, do you have a vision that needs to be amplified? That's where a lot of the problem lies. It's like they get so vision focused. And so I remember saying, oh, you used to build houses. He said, yeah. And I remember, y'all be having stories. When I let him go, I had to let him go. I had to let him go. I didn't want to let that one go. That's the one I wouldn't want to let go. But being a self-aware woman, I was like, damn, April, why you got to do so much work on yourself that you won't let nothing slide? I knew when I had to let him go. And one day I went by the house. I hadn't seen him because I had been traveling. I hadn't seen him. And I just loved being around his 6'4", muscle bound, 51-year-old self with a body like he was 35. I loved being around him. And I just felt safe and fun. And we just had a great time. But I knew the night that I had to let him go. And when I walked in the house, he said, hey, well, let me show you all the stuff that I just did. Now, he got this 4-bedroom house. And every room that he takes me in is filled with his stuff. Now, there's one room in the house in the back that it still carried the energy of a situation he dealt with a woman where he had to file bankruptcy of over $1 million, because even as a police officer, you know, he had his side business. She didn't divulge all of the information, wasn't truthful about herself. He had to go to counseling the whole nine. So everything shut down. Well, that had happened in like 2007. The room was still the same with the big old fax machines and all of that stuff. The rooms had the still same energy. He takes me outside and he said, let me show you what I did outside. And he said, this is the pergola. And it was beautiful. And at that moment, I knew this would be my last time being with him. And so that night we had a wonderful time. He cooked, he made these gourmet meals. He was one of the, he cooked better than I did. Wonderful time. Next morning, we're sitting outside on the deck having breakfast. And I was dreading it. But when you are an aware person, you give people the opportunity to show you just how much they're going to evolve. And he walked out and I said, honey, you are such the bachelor. He's like, yeah, I'm a bachelor. And prior to this, I had asked him when we first started dating, I said, when was the last time you were in love? He said, 1994. Well, my daughter was born in 94. And at that time, she was 25. She's 28 now. And I was like, ooh, child. So something happened that causes him to hold back. Told me, he says, April, prior to that night, he says, listen, he said, I like you a lot. And I know how to love. He said, but I don't understand. And I'm like, what is it that you don't understand? He said, that thing that you do. I said, what is that thing? He said, it's this girl thing that you do. So when he and I walked in a place, I would be the representation of the feminine. He was definitely representation of the masculine. He didn't know how to accept that. He would say, I want to see you this weekend. I said, okay. He said, so it's that easy, huh? I'm like, well, hell, what you want me to do? Complain? He's like, no, you're just so busy. I said, but you're important to me. So I could be on set. I could be in hair and makeup. And I would always answer his calls. He said, what you doing? I'm in the middle of this photo shoot, but what's going on with you? How your day going? And I would always make time because quality time is my primary love language. So I give what my primary love language is. So now fast forward that next morning. And I said, well, I said, honey, yeah, you're the eligible bachelor. You know, you're this bachelor. He's like, yeah. And I said, you don't have room for a woman to love you. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, looking at your home, first off, everything in here, you're setting it up as though it's always going to be just you. I said, we might date other people, but there's no permanent fixture of feminine energy in your home. I said, I think, you know, you don't have enough room. He said, explain. He said, well, April, every room is because X, Y, and Z. And I said, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, I'm talking about the reason why your environment looks the way it is because in your heart, you don't have room. I said, so your environment is indicative of what's going on the inside. And I said, in that room in the back, I said, that room looks the same since 2007. He said, wait, boy, men don't just throw things away. I said, I'm not asking you to throw anything away. I'm just being observant to the fact that the energy in that room has not changed since 2007. And it was 2018, 19.
Hard out here. Hard out here in them years.
Hey, it was 2019. They told me I should do a whole movie about my dating life because I actually have I don't have those same horror stories, but I have some great times.
Just 2018. Do it by the year.
2018 only. Yes.
That's the title.
Start in 2018.
Yeah.
You gotta start in 2018. Yes. I don't know about any other part of your life, but 2018, start there, go back or forward from there.
Well, so with this guy, I knew he didn't have room to receive me.
And it was the room. It was the room that told you that, or was it the room on top of Howie? Well, actually, I think the question I really want to ask is: do you think he deserved grace, though? You know what I mean? Because
I had already given him grace.
I figured as much.
I had already, because the thing was, I had already given him grace, and so what happened was, so that was right before Christmas of that year. So earlier that year, we had went our separate ways in 2019 because I'm like, what's the problem? So we went our separate ways, but I checked on him during the pandemic because I knew all hell was breaking loose in Atlanta. It was crazy. So I reached out and said, hey, I'm just checking on you to make sure that you're safe. He texted me back immediately. Like, he was always on it. And he was telling me what's going on. I've been working 12-hour days. They got me, you doing X, Y, and Z. So I was just checking on him. And then I said, well, all right, love, I was just checking on you, make sure that you're safe and making sure mentally you good. That was it. He texted me right back. He said, don't you got a birthday going down this week? Oh, yeah, I do. And then we went out for my birthday. At that, now my birthday was in June. During that time, when I walked into the restaurant, he walks up to me and said, don't you start that shit that you, the thing that you, that shit that you do. I said, what is it? He said, that girl, that thing. I said, well, what's that thing, my love? He said, that right there. I said, what do you mean? Is he calling you my love? What is it? What does it mean? He said, when you touch me, when you just got this thing. He said, don't start that. Then he proceeds to say, hey, but why didn't we connect? I said, because you continued to run. And he said, do you remember how many kids I have? He was asking me all these questions, and I was able to line by line answer everything that I had learned about him. He said, okay. He said, I know how to love for real. And I said, I believe that you do. And I said, I believe you like me a real whole lot, but you won't allow yourself to for whatever reason. After that, we had a great time. We danced around the club. You know, we just had a wonderful time. A couple of days later, he disappeared. Then I said, you know, normally I don't say nothing. I said, I got to say something about this. I reached out, and anytime I call, he answers immediately. I said, are you busy? He said, I'm just here at work. I said, can you talk? He said, I could talk. I said, what are you doing? And he said, what you mean? I said, what? You just sat here and told me, you know, I'm cleaning off the plate. Let's do us, because all of this stuff you just said. What was that all about? You know, you tell me, you know, I show up. You're not used to a woman actually showing up. You're used to women ghosting. You're used to women doing a particular thing that I don't do. I said, so what is it? He said, well, I'm going to tell you. My homeboy told me that you are different, completely different than what I'm used to. And he said, in April, I'll tell you this. A man cannot just come into your life and give you anything. And I said, so what have you been giving to women before me? Like, what you been giving them? He said, well, you know, I've been in my house, the same house and this and that and the third. He's giving it his whole breakdown. And I'm like, what is it that you think I want? Because I actually like you. You do know that I know you're a police sergeant. You do know that. Like, I knew that on site. And when we met our first date, when he walked in that restaurant looking like Denzel off of Training Day. And I was sitting there. I got there early and I was sitting there with my leg crossed and I watched him walk by me, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, this is not it. I was, as the kids say, Twitter painted. I was like, I don't know what's going on with this. But we always had that really great chemistry. We had a great time, great conversation. But that night, that morning, when I told, I broke everything down to him, and I said, I don't think you have room, and not just, this is not about your house. This is about your heart. I said, because you're a runner. And I said, not just with me, you know, listening to our going back to our conversations, you're used to running. I said, something happened in your life that caused you to clam up. And you told me the last time you were in love was in 1994. I'm like, honey, do you know how many years ago that was? I said, so as a woman that actually likes and cares about you, I can't go through this. This roller coaster. This is a roller coaster ride. I said, so I don't doubt that you care a lot about me, but there's something stopping you from giving yourself to a woman, not just me, but to a woman, period. You know how to wine and dine. You know how to cook. You know how to do all of the stuff. But when it comes to that intimacy part, and that's that night also let me know, he knew how to have sex. He didn't know intimacy. So he's cooking and he's standing there in his little lounge pants and his little t-shirt. And cooking. And I walked up behind him. He's 6'5". I'm 5'3", 5'4". I walked up behind him and I put my hands around him from the back, and he got nervous. And he said, April, I'm cooking. And I'm like, well, honey, you can still cook. And so, and I said, because you smell so good. And I'm holding on to him with my hands on his chest. He said, but I got a knife in his hand. He did everything he could to get out of that intimate moment.
Damn, man. This sounds like me in a word. God.
So, was you kicking it? Where was you in 2018?
So I knew that in that moment, everything that happened that night, in that moment, I was like, yeah, Abe, you can't see him no more. No matter how much you like him, you can't see him anymore. But I don't blame him. I don't blame any of them, because they're nothing more than a reflection of what me. So I had to ask myself, April, what is it within you that caused you to deal with men that couldn't receive you. So they did nothing wrong. They showed up as themselves.
Right.
So I don't want any of the listeners, the fellas, thinking that, oh, she blamed it all on them. They did nothing wrong. They showed up as who they were. So that may cause me to have to go back in and do a self-assessment.
So April, one of our questions that we had prior to getting into these wonderful conversations was, what are some of the signs that self-change is needed? So at what point did you sit back and go, maybe I need to take a deeper look into me?
My pattern. Because that year I was dealing with going out on dates with quite a few men. And I realized I was the emotionally unavailable one. So I was attracting men that could not be emotionally available and commit to me. That same year, I was dating this former NFL guy. Everything was going good. All of a sudden, he disappeared. I'm like, what the hell? He texted me one morning at 8 o'clock and said, I don't care. I hope nobody's over there because I'm on my way over there and I got something I need to share with you. I'm tired of hurting people that I care about. And I'm like, he ain't coming over here. Because I woke up at like 8:15. You can't get through the gate, child. At 8:30, he got through the gate and was knocking on my door. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, listen, I really care about you and I really like you a lot. He said, but prior to dating you, I found out while dating you that prior to dating you that I got another woman pregnant. Emotionally unavailable. He couldn't commit. I was dating a fitness trainer. He had just recently got out of something. We had great times. But guess what? Couldn't commit. Then it was the chef. Same thing. He was stuck on being a side dude. He was a side dude for some chick. Couldn't commit. Then there was the executive over at Delta that we were having a great time, had me all out in these streets, and I found out he was married. So there was no, it wasn't him trying to hide me. He lived up the street. I've been to the house and the whole nine, had a whole family. You come down our street, you turn left, I live that way. He turned right, I live that way. We met in our neighborhood. So at that point, I had to say, whoa, something is up.
Got it.
And that's when I realized that I was the one that was emotionally unavailable. So they were mirroring me. They were great dates. I'm always a great date. I've always have fun with you. I'm going to treat you like a king in your presence. They would treat me like a king in my presence, a queen in my presence. Great dates. We always have fun. But they couldn't commit. So they were nothing more than a representation of who I was, which caused me to have to say, April, why are you emotionally unavailable? Why are you settling with just being a great date? Because it was safe for me because I went through a horrible divorce.
Mm.
So you have to be self-aware enough to know when you need to shift. That's why when my dating academy was open, I was so successful with the ladies because I knew if I don't teach you nothing else, I know how to teach you how to date. And so I had to literally shut that down in order to position myself to actually be in a relationship. I left a lot of money on the table for that. That was a 6-figure-a-month business. But when you decide to make a decision to say, this isn't worth that, this puts me in the energy of that, you have to make the hard decisions. But the only way to do that is self-awareness. So your viewers, ask yourself, do I get the same result with women all the time? If you do, then you are the problem. So I couldn't blame any of those men, although, you know, it was a roller coaster of a ride. I couldn't blame any of them for being exactly what I was. So although my mouth said one thing, what's in you is the thing that's going to attract. And whatever you attract and then choose to entertain, because it's not what you attract, it's what you choose to entertain. There were great men around during that time. One in particular, he treated me very well during that time. And I was like, I don't know if I want nobody 60. I don't know. But he was fly. And he was showing up. If I needed anything, he was there. I remember driving down the street and got a flat tire. And he's like, where are you? I said, I'm over here in Peachtree City. I got a flat tire. He said, all right, stay right there. I'm on the way. He left his job as one of the heads over at FedEx. Left his job, came over, fixed my tire, gave me a kiss, and left. See, that was an emotionally available man. I wasn't an emotionally available woman, so I couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't receive him, just like those men couldn't receive me. And I think when we're not open and honest about where we are and stop pointing a finger at everybody else, I think when we start to do that, we start to really heal ourselves and position ourselves to be with somebody that actually can receive us. So I was the problem the whole time. I told y'all all of that to tell you I was the problem the whole time. It still don't take away from insecurities though, because you still got to get your securities together. But I was attracting what I was.
But you did the work too, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like to assess and then take action, right? Like that's the vulnerable piece. Cause you're right. You could have spun that and said, guys ain't shit. This didn't, yep. Nobody's available. You could have spun it easily, mm-hmm. Especially with your great storytelling. Like we wouldn't have saw that you were the problem. Right. We wouldn't have saw that right. At all, you know? So, but that's a huge, huge, tip of my cap to you for doing that, because that's tough. Because again, goes back to what I said. You had to identify that you were the problem, right? Like you were bringing that to you. So kudos to you for doing the work.
So we got it going for a while. And I'd like to ask this final. If I mean, we can go all night. I don't really care. But when you arrived at that space that said, "I'm the problem. I'm not emotionally available." What did you do to prepare yourself to be emotionally available?
Boom.
I had to learn how to sit in good love because it's uncomfortable. I had to, the people around me, like I have some really, really great masculine man type of male friends. So I had to allow them to come in and do certain things. I'd learned how to depend on them. Like they text me and be like, "How you feeling today?" They don't ask me how I'm doing. They ask me how I'm feeling. It causes me to have to be open. And I decided to be more vulnerable. I decided to allow people to know what was going on with me. But then it was, all right, Abe, you can teach all of this good stuff that you teach, but you're not going to know if it works unless you allow yourself to sit in good love. So what I did was I allowed myself to sit in someone treating me very, very well. Because see, what happens is when you are the emotionally available one, everybody that you meet that's good for you, you're not going to be attracted to. Because there's no roller coaster ride. Everything is, you'd be coasted. So there is no, is he going to call me back or is he not? Is he going to ask me out? There's none of that. Because at that point, you're only dealing with men that are eager to see you and hesitant to leave you. I had to learn to only deal with those men, because when you deal with men that are eager to see you, you don't have to worry about, is he making plans? You don't have to worry about, you know, if he's going to call. He's showing you with his actions. So you have to get off of the roller coaster ride of the drama. So I intentionally took myself off of that and said, I will only deal with men that are eager to see me and hesitant to leave me. Those men required me to sit in good treatment. It made me feel like I was going to throw up, because it was like, oh God, he's checking on me on a regular basis. Okay. He show up when he say he going to show up. Okay. All right. What else? Okay. Let me find something attractive about him. Not because he was unattractive, but because your appetite, your palate has to change. Mm. All the other guys that I told you about, they were emotionally unavailable. So it was that cat and mouse. It was that chase. It was that excitement. Well, what do you do when a woman comes into your life and she's just all good? She doesn't give you that. Mm. So I had to sit back, and anytime I was ready to just walk away, I would say, okay, is he mistreating me? No. Is my intuition giving me, you know, the red flags? No. Is he belittling me? I would go through all of these lists of questions to myself to decide if it's Jessica. I call Jessica the subconscious mind. Because your subconscious mind is programmed. So y'all call you James or Jamel or Jamal. But
Jermichael.
Your subconscious mind is programmed. So my mind had been programmed with what it feels like to deal with emotionally unavailable people, because I was emotionally unavailable. So mm-hmm. I had to silence the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind will try to do everything it can to get you back to the result of dealing with people that are emotionally unavailable, because you programmed it for years. So I had to learn how to say, Jessica, sit your ass back. This man ain't done nothing. He's treating you nice. He's catering to you. He's coming to check your car. He's making sure you done ate. You told him that you was diagnosed with lupus, and he said he ain't going nowhere. Like, you have to literally have these conversations with your subconscious mind until you change it, and it gets programmed with knowing how to receive good love. That's how I was able to do it. If I hadn't done that...
Mm-mm. Are you at that point right now? You are standing firm in knowing how to receive. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was passed up. But this is what I had to go through. And it didn't take me long to do it. Because when you make a decision that you don't like your results, and when you realize that you are really the problem, it's like, all right, yeah, what do I really want? And then at the point in my life, I didn't want a relationship. I had a wonderful dating life. So I wasn't, when you had options, honey, you don't be trying to be just settling down. It's like, oh, child, no. You out here, you're having fun, you're enjoying yourself. Every woman isn't trying to be locked in. I know what it's like to be married. I've been married. I love marriage. I believe people thrive when they're in a good, healthy marriage. But I wasn't looking for that. I was enjoying myself. And in during that time, it was really indicative to that as well. April wasn't really looking for nothing, even though her mom said she was. She was actually having for fun. She's, you know, she became an empty nester. She had kids early. My kids are 28, 26, and 24. I got 4 grandkids. So I was living and enjoying myself because I didn't get that chance when I was in my 20s and 30s because I was raising kids. So my emotional unavailability also stemmed from not really wanting to be in a relationship. So I was presented and entertained men that couldn't give me one. Until I finally decided that, all right, it's time. It might be time to reel it on in. So let me get this part of me together because I had fun, but it's maybe time to reel it on in. That's when I decided to change. I saw that it was me. I was wrong.
So it's a decision. That's literally what it is for my people. It's a decision. Fellas, what else you got?
That's all I got, man. I'm so appreciative of the time you spent with us tonight, Miss April. Thank you so much.
I took a nap for y'all because you know it's 11 o'clock in Atlanta. I took a nap.
Thank you.
It's 11 o'clock in Boston, too.
Oh, you're in Boston?
I'm in Boston now. Yeah, okay. I'm from Connecticut, but I live in Boston now.
Okay.
And I'm anxious because my wife and I, it's the last day of our Apple Watch competition.
Okay.
And she got me up by like 150 points. So I'm about to go do some burpees or something real quick before midnight.
Dennis, how are you guys doing over there in California with the weather?
It's storming like crazy out here. So, you know, I one of my oldest, I sent him to school. It was his first day back today, but the weather was so bad. I just chilled for like an hour or two before he actually got to school. So thank you for asking, but it's crazy around here. So
see, I don't even watch the news. What's going on with the weather?
Big weather storm, man. It's just, I mean, it's like flooding rain? All over. Yeah, it's flooding rain. All over here in the Bay. It's I've never seen it like this. So, you know, we're just trying to stay inside, stay safe, you know.
That's crazy.
You know, stay out the way. But again, I'm on overload. There is so much that you said that I'm about to go upstairs like a new man. You think I'm playing. I'm about to go upstairs. I got ideas. We got a date tomorrow. We got a date night tomorrow. You know what I mean? Ain't no kids. We ain't had that in hell and all. We need this. But I think just most importantly, your insight with how that was so insightful. You're 2018. You really should find a way to
chronicle that.
Because I think there's a lot of gems within your experiences on both sides. So again, we thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Piggyback on that.
I'll leave you guys with this. You said you're going to talk with your, having a good time with your wife. If you ever want to make a woman feel as though she can rest in her femininity with you, make sure she feels seen, heard, protected, and provided for. If you could do these 4 things, it allows her to rest in you, because when she speaks, you hear her, you see her, like you see her beyond just the mother. Like there was a friend of mine. He would FaceTime me and he would say, "I see you." No, literally, "I see you." And it would always bring me to tears because he actually saw beyond whatever I was putting up. So when she feels seen, heard, protected, and provided for, it makes room for her to really rest in that feminine space for not just herself, but for you as well, too. She'll be able to give more of that softness, you know, to you just asking her, you know, babe, how you feel today? Not how you doing, but how you feel today? Look at me. Tell me. No, no, honestly, how do you feel today? If you're allowing her to go within, and going within, femininity is inwardness. And I believe the pandemic was nothing more than the feminine rising up, because femininity has been suppressed for centuries. And so what the pandemic did is it required people to take a sit down and go within. That's what femininity is all about. It's about going within. So with your lady, just ask her how she's feeling. Don't ask her just how she's doing, because we quick to say, oh, I'm doing good, girl. You know, boo, I'm doing good. We quick to say that. But asking them how they feel requires a woman to ask
I hit the wrong button. I meant to hit the mute button.
Oh, but yeah, just ask her how she's feeling and make sure she feels seen, heard, protected, and provided for. And those things, it will melt, you know, a lot of a woman's walls. It will allow us to even hear you, because you see us not just as your wife, your woman, your the mother of your kids, but you see us as human, a human being. And you see, you can look in our face and tell when something is off, our energy shifts. But those little things like that is huge for us.
So there's,
I wrote all that down.
You got some.
There are so many nuggets that were listed and given in this conversation. I think if people really tapping in to receive these nuggets, it'll 100% make you a better person.
Absolutely.
Both male and female. Final thoughts. Bellhead.
This was great. Just so you know, too, I bought your audio book while we were talking.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to listen to that. And the title got me, and I read the foreword before we got on the call. So I'm looking forward to reading. But I don't know. I think my final thought, this has been amazing. This is probably my favorite episode so far. That when we've been doing this for 2 years, right? And this was our podcast was spawned through the pandemic. Because you have such an interesting perspective, right? You're you know, because people can take, there's negative connotations attached to the word feminist, right? Or bringing out a woman's feminine qualities. And I just love how you articulate it at a level where it makes it digestible, right? And consumable for all listeners. So thank you for that. And I think my final thought is what I pulled from this is, we are all constantly evolving, mm-hmm. right? And we have to do the work, you know, like I live by this, right? You stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I think as men, like masculine men, we sometimes take that in a literal sense, right? When it comes to safety, right? Or providing and things like that. But I don't know that we necessarily do that from a self-development standpoint. Right, self-awareness standpoint, an identity standpoint, right? Like, how are we identifying as a man, you know? And can that identity be improved, right? Or can that identity evolve, right? Asking ourselves all these questions, and that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm on a heavy self-development journey this year, and maybe that's why a lot of stuff is resonating with me as well. But I'll end with, I love this simple line that you said. You said, as a man who feels they don't measure up, how do I play a role in this woman's life? Right? Like that's, or this individual, right? Depending male or female. Like, I just think that's such a simple question, right? Such a simple question, but that removes all the socioeconomic status. It removes all the physical attributes, right? Like, it's a simple question. How do I play a role in this woman's life, right? So I love that. I love this interview. Thank you so much. And I'm truly appreciative.
You're welcome.
For sure. P, final thoughts, my man.
There's so much. First, I manifested this a while ago.
You did.
I manifested this. The the first video I seen of you where you were sitting at a table showing women how to publicly flirt with men in such a grown woman fashion.
Oh,
that I'm was my
whole business.
that was my first introduction, and I was like, who is this? Because I've never seen a grown woman be such a grown woman when it came to interacting with men and the idea of being assertive and being confident. And everything you said was like, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. So manifestation is real.
Yes.
But there is such value in surrounding yourself with good women.
Mm.
And that can happen in so many different ways. And that's what this conversation is really teaching me. Because I manifested that I wanted to have some type of conversation with you to get more information and insight. But it's really teaching me how valuable good women are. And it doesn't have to be from a personal relationship, a romantic relationship space. Having good women provide you with good women insight.
Yes.
And depending on the good women in your life and the other good women, you can take some from that one and apply it here. And some from that one and apply it here. And that's something that I have not been doing. And I absolutely 110% know that this conversation is going to make me a better man for the woman in my life. And ultimately, every woman who is surrounded by me, you know what I mean? Every woman that I'm around. So my final thought is be intentional in 2023, everybody listening. Surround yourself with more good women and listen to them. Mm-hmm. Listen, have dialogue, but listen, because they are full of gay, full of
absolutely. So
especially if they're from the Bay. Let me say that. What we're not going to do is act like Miss April Mason ain't from the Bay. There's something about Bay Area women. I'm married to a woman from Oakland, California. There's something about Bay Area women where they come with not only insight, but a level of confidence, because there's something about being from out here. You have to deal with a lot. There's a lot of hustle. There's a lot of constant movement out here. And I salute you for how you've manifested what you've learned and what you've been through and how you've cultivated into something that is literally changing people's lives. So
That's super dope. So we created this podcast on the basis of introspection and then just being better. So every story you gave tonight, I'm looking for a piece of myself in there and going, maybe that was me, or maybe this could be you. And I wrote down so many different things about just small nuggets on how I intend to improve, or just more things to be cautious of in wording that I use and how I look at different situations, how I approach different situations. But I think my final thought goes to anyone listening. Listen with the intent to grow and not, you know, I guess. So in efforts to me, because saying I'm comparing myself or finding myself in these stories, it's an effort to help me grow. Like we're not out here trying to compare. And I think, fellas, it was a lot of times where in your stories, the men have second guessed themselves or lack the confidence to believe, or just to understand the simple fact, like you were at wherever you were with them, you chose to be there. You had that choice. So fellas, believe that you are enough. Mm-hmm. In any event you feel like you are not, have the aspiration to grow and learn from the woman that you're with, because like you said, women are amplifiers. And when you welcome that, you have no choice but to be and do better if you desire to be so.
You know what I'm saying? When you talk about amplifying, you also talk about frequencies and vibrations, man. So women being amplifiers is going to force you to raise your frequency.
Yeah. Right. Or not.
Or not. Yes. Yeah. So don't let
her. He didn't.
Show didn't.
When her successes meet your insecurities,
ooh,
find a way to perhaps mask that until you can become more confident.
Because tell you right now,
the more you disclose them, the lesser you look, I guess. I'm not sure if that's the right way to put it, but the more you disclose those insecurities, the less attracted to you she becomes.
Yes. And all you got to do is still remind yourself, hold up. But she chose me though.
Right.
But she chose me though. I don't care who she could have had.
I swear that's a t-shirt.
She chose me though. Yeah, but she chose me though. And that right there it makes you so much more attractive to us, because at the end of the day, I don't care what we've accomplished in the world as women, we are still women that have the same needs as the woman working at Walmart, JCPenney's, and all the rest of them that I named. We're still women that want to feel seen, heard, protected, and provided for. And to you, Chief, when you said that, you know, always be evolving, even though I was going through those situations, I was still aware enough to see certain things, although I was still emotionally unavailable. I was still able to recognize, you know, okay, he can't receive me. Why? I didn't understand the why yet, that my emotional unavailability was the cause of all of these things. Because I always say, you can have a glass of water. In that glass of water, you can have good men, bad men, and everything in between. Based upon where you align is going to determine what you entertain up out of there. So they were nothing more than where I was. But at the same time, I'm still asking these questions. You know, why is he insecure with this? Why is it? I'm still asking those questions until I had that aha moment of, oh, Miss Mason, you are not as fabulous as you thought you were, my love, because you keep entertaining this. Let's dive deep. And I'm an introspective kind of woman. So I'll get a pen and paper. Okay, so why did I do this and why did I do that? Okay, so why did I choose him? I wrote their names down. Why did I choose him? Okay, because this. Okay, so what's the problem? And then I will write it down. That's what I do when I'm making shifts and when I want to make drastic shifts. I have to ask, why am I continuing to choose emotionally unavailable men? Huh? Because your behind is the same exact thing. A man or a woman is your mirror. Always. If you ever want to know where you at, look at the people that you're choosing to entertain. They will always mirror you.
And one of you fellas said it, and listen.
Yeah.
And listen, we're not listening. So Miss April, you continue to give us nuggets. So if you could give us a couple key points you want the people to take away from this, what are your final thoughts in regards to this conversation?
My final thoughts, first of all, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I had a great time. Also, number one is understand that you're probably the problem. It's not everybody else. If you continue to get the same results, it's because your current identity has you in this place. Decide, who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What do I want in my life? And then say, who do I need to become to have that? Whether it's the woman, whether it's the success, whether it's health, whatever that thing is, your current person that you're being got you to where you are right now. So what are you going to do about it? Also, for the fellas, if you fall into the category of what these podcasters and these clowns on the internet talk about, got you making you think you're regular, understand that it's not you being regular that a woman has a problem with. It's about you thinking that you're regular, that she has a problem. And it all goes back to the thinking. Most women that you come across, I do understand that being a bitch is associated with a successful woman. I understand that. But if you just happen to come across one that is not that, you have to learn how to change your subconscious programming about what a successful woman is in order to receive her. And last but not least is, learn how to receive a woman's feminine nature, especially a Black woman. A lot of us did not. My situation was not that I didn't come from that. My mother was passive and she married a man that ran over her femininity, that didn't respect it. And so my situation was different of how I went from being that to being real hard to coming back to the middle. But be able, when you meet a woman that she's nurturing and she's giving towards you, and she is a woman that you've never experienced, because that woman is probably going to be somebody you've never experienced before. So she's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Don't run from her, because she is the gateway to a part of you evolving into the type of man that you say you want to be. If she doesn't have a complaint with you, she knows what you do. You done told her how much money you make. She see the little car you drive, and she's still choosing to be with you. Allow yourself to sit in somebody treating you well so you can start changing the programming, and don't self-sabotage it, and don't start chipping away at her to bring her light down so that you can feel significant.
Oof. Preach message for show, man. Listen, for the umpteenth time, this has been a powerful conversation. I know all of us have become better people because of it. We appreciate you. We completely respect you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you all. I have a wonderful time. Y'all go, you stay safe out there in the Bay, because I've been watching the news. Yeah, it's crazy. So you guys stay safe and warm too.
For sure. So our people, our followers, man, thank y'all for tapping in. Per usual, we are on all social media outlets at All Black Men Need Therapy. Hit us up, let us know your thoughts, shoot us some comments or whatever. And as we say, do us all a favor and hug a black man today.
Do it.
And tomorrow.
You know what? And hug a black woman too. Do it.
Yes.
No doubt.
We need a little hug too.
Absolutely.
And without trying to get none from us. Just hug.
That's the key, right?
Word. We out, y'all.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks, Miss Ida.